approximately 20% of Americans are chronic procrastinators. Yet procrastination is not a disease, it's a symptom of an underlying cause from the practical to the societal. So letting go of guilt and learning to pinpoint procrastination triggers and their causes can move delayers beyond their self-sabotaging behavior, says our guest today, Renate Ryman. And then using simple tricks to get them off the dime, like devoting just 5 minutes to a task, turning off electronics, skipping steps that hold them back, and other tactics can break the logjam. We're going to be interested in all these things that can help you with your procrastination. But on the front end, I should say that for many procrastinators who cannot stop procrastinating, it is a portion of a disease of addiction. The type would be negative thinking, and we're going to try to get into that a little bit also in today's interview. So it's our pleasure today to have Renate Ryman. She's a PhD, a founder of Fresh Life Coaching, and this is her newly released book we're going to be talking about today, Beyond Procrastination, How to Stop Postponing Your Life. Renate, it's nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you for having me, Wynn.
Okay, so why did you choose procrastination as your specialty?
When I started out as a life coach, most of the people that I first worked with seemed to have one thing in common. They were procrastinating on something that they wanted to achieve, whether it was a career change or finding a new job or going back to school, finishing a thesis, whatever it was, there was something that was holding them back. And even more so, there are a few clients whose life was not just touched by procrastination in one area, so which is easier to address, but it was really everything somehow got sucked into that downward spiral. And when I realized that I could help them with behavioral change, like first of all, self-understanding, finding out what exactly is happening when you're procrastinating, and then defining ways or figuring out techniques, even just small adjustments sometimes that would help them get over that hurdle and implement change for the long run.
Renate, I have been doing work in addiction for many, many years, and I kind of put procrastination in the addictive behavior category of negative thinking. And also, I see association with procrastinators and people who have low self-esteem, which is one of the basic underlying causes of addiction. How do you feel about that?
I think procrastination is definitely a symptom of many other things that can be happening underlying. It's depression, attention deficit disorder, low self-esteem, for example. People don't believe that they actually can achieve something. They might put off even simple things just because it's reinforcing their sense of self. So yes, definitely it is a symptom of many other things, including also physical illness. For example, if you're compromised physically, you also might procrastinate on things because it just seems too overwhelming or too large an effort that you simply cannot put in at this point.
Do you think that there's a silver bullet for fixing procrastination?
I think there is, but it's definitely the first step. Other things have to happen, but the silver bullet is self-forgiveness. It's letting go of the guilt. I just heard this term used by, read an article about self-compassion, that a lot of people have compassion for others, especially in the religious communities, that you're taught, as a Christian, you're taught to forgive others, but very often we don't do that with ourselves. And so what happens is we give all that understanding to others, but withhold it from ourselves. And until we can be forgiving in terms of ourselves, it's just very hard to move out of procrastination mode, because the harder we are in ourselves, the more energy goes into self-blame and self-hatred instead of uplifting yourself and doing positive things in the world.
Well, as I see it, if you think about procrastination as part of negative thinking, and you think about it as low self-esteem as the underlying cause, then if you can forgive yourself for whatever you think that you need to be forgiven for, it's going to raise your self-esteem and sort of start pointing you out of that hole that you've been in.
And it allows you to actually look at what are the real reasons. Because one of the things that happens when people get into that downward cycle of procrastination is that it becomes about how terrible a person I am, and not about what actually is happening in terms of the dynamics. So instead of looking at procrastination as a personality defect, like I'm lazy or I'm just a bad person, I like to steer people's attention to the process. So what happens in the process of procrastinating? What triggers your procrastination? And once you figure that out and you really can spotlight that attention on the underlying sort of more either practical or psychological or sociocultural reasons, then you can work with it. You can't really do anything about saying, like, I'm lazy. There's no next step but to beat ourselves up. So it's very important to shift the focus from the self-blame to what is happening and how can we change it.
Okay, well, in your book, you talk about, I think it's six different ways that you can actually do something concrete and clear the way for the action of stopping procrastination. Let's talk about that. The first one is schedule the task you need to do on your calendar and add an alert.
Well, that is very helpful for people who tend to overload themselves, because when you procrastinate, you feel like you're far behind. So, like, the more can be on the more you can put on a to-do list, the better, right? That's sort of the thinking. The only problem with that is, or one of the problems with that is, very often there's too much in one day, and so the sense of failure and not achieving anything is actually very high, and that, of course, then causes more procrastination, when in fact it's really more a question of scheduling things more realistically. So by putting a task on the calendar, you have to actually assign a time value to it. So will it be 30 minutes, an hour, 3 hours, 6 hours? And once you do that with the important task of the day, you can see, oh, okay, that's all I can do. So I already filled 8 hours, and then still another 5 tasks. So you know, okay, that those belong to on the next day's calendar. And the alert is helpful because when we procrastinate, we often forget about sort of time, rational time or linear time, and we're in our own subjective time. So the alert brings us back to, okay, this is what I need to start now.
Okay. Well, let's go on to the next point. You say make sure that your workplace is well organized and reduce physical distractions.
That is very helpful, especially for people who are very visual. And I would add noise as well, or other sound distractions. So depending on what distracts you more, make sure that at least in your line of vision or in terms of what you can hear clearly, that you reduce that as much as possible. Because, of course, if you have a pile of to-do things right in front of you, it can be harder to focus on the task at hand. So you don't have to have a perfectly organized office. You just have to make sure that what is around you doesn't distract you. So what's in the line of vision or what is immediately in your space adds to your concentration and doesn't distract from it.
We're talking today with Renati Ryman. Dr. Ryman has written a book called Beyond Procrastination, How to Stop Procrastinating Your Life. Renati, how do they get a copy of your book?
The book is available on Amazon.com as a paperback and as well as a Kindle edition, but you can also go to your local bookstore and order it there.
Great. Okay, getting back to your little tips on what you can do concretely, you say, start with the easiest step and reward yourself when finished.
Very often, people get stuck in the beginning. And I don't know what your experience is, but for me, it's if something is difficult, I don't like to do it, or I'm afraid of something related to the task, the getting started can be the most difficult thing to do. So I recommend to do something that's very easy or least negative or most appealing in order to get started. And then once you get started, usually your emotions calm down, your concentration goes up, and that helps you along the way. The reward is important because if you do something difficult, and other people might think it's nothing, but if it's difficult for you and you tend to procrastinate, give yourself a reward. That can be a big reward for something that was really major, like you just finished a big project or finished school or something. Give yourself a vacation. Why not? If you can afford it, of course. But do something big. But if it's something small, you might just want to go for a little walk or have a cup of coffee or whatever it is that usually helps you to relax and gives you a sense of accomplishment. The reward is also important for people who procrastinate because I find because they have this constant feeling of being behind, that they rush through things, and then they don't realize, and I often do this with my clients, they don't realize how much they actually have accomplished that day. So I ask them, like, tell me, what did you do today? And once they've listed it, they go, oh, yeah, it was actually a good day. I achieved quite a bit. So with that, we're talking about self-esteem. So really consciously acknowledging what we do also helps build up self-esteem. And that's a very important step toward becoming more and more effective and productive.
Okay, now let's talk about the fourth point. If fears cause delays, acknowledge them and get to their roots.
That is very difficult for most people. Myself included, and you're a psychologist, I'm probably very aware of what fear can do to us. But if we can hold on, if we can just sit with the fear and confront it, I find with myself and with my clients that it usually calms down. The more we try to repress it or we try to push it away, the more we energize the emotion. So let's take a moment to sit down and think about the fear that's coming up when you're just about to start something. What is that fear about? Is it fear of failure? Then think about, okay, how bad could it be? Do a reality check. I find reality checks very helpful when it comes to fear. So how likely is it that this fear will actually be real? And you might realize, oh, well, it's actually not very likely that this horrible thing will happen. Or what could be the worst-case scenario? And in that case, you can think about, okay, if everything goes wrong, I still can do X, Y, or Z. And then, of course, there is the decision, no, my fears are actually real. They're very valuable. My fears have told me not to do something that would be bad for me. So then you can abandon the project or whatever you wanted to do. So take those fears seriously because they do help you understand the task at hand much better.
Your fifth point is when resentment gets in your way, make peace with the situation. Tell us about that.
Resentment is a very tricky one because people are very, especially when it comes to procrastination, a lot of books have been written about how fear impacts it. And it's also like distractions and impulse control and things like that. But resentment is means there's the procrastination comes out of some kind of anger, of some kind of experience that your boundaries have been crossed in a way that's not right. So, for example, let's say your boss gives you tasks that you think are actually below your level. If this happens consistently, procrastination might seem like a great way to say, I'm not okay with that. Even though it might be small tasks that on the surface would go, but that's easy to do. So just go get copy paper from the storeroom. But when you think, or if you think that that's really below you, or you're not honored as the person and the valuable employee that you are, you might not do it, or really have to force yourself. So resentment is something that is important to have on your radar when you deal with these situations. Also in intimate relationships, when your partner asks you things to do and you procrastinate, it might have something to do with resentment. The thing to do here is communicate. So if you feel you're devalued or you're pushed to do something that you really don't want to do, communicate that politely and also without anger so that you really, the other person can hear you. So that's important. But of course, there are situations like the one with the boss asking you to get copy paper. Sometimes it's just easier to just do it and get it over with. But try both. Communicate your boundaries, and also when there's no way, do what you need to do and don't waste your energy and time on procrastination.
And the final tip is turn off digital distractions. Boy, don't we have a lot of those.
That has become so important. When you think about just 10 years ago, yes, we had quite a few distractions already, but it just has ballooned, like all the different programs and apps and access to information that you can get can be very distracting in the sense that, wow, I really would like to know what my friends are up to, or I just did something that I think is cute or funny or whatever, let me put it on the social media site or text a friend about it or whatever it is. So this level of distraction can do a lot of harm to our productivity. So if there is something really neat to accomplish, if at all possible, turn off your cell phone, turn off apps if you're working on the computer, alarms, anything that distracts you.
Okay, there are six good tips. And if you get Dr. Ryman's book, you're going to get all this explained and some other things explained. In other words, she goes into reasons for procrastination, time, organization, scale task, aversion, fear, perfectionism, resentment, always up to date, always competing, always working. I'd like to talk about one of those, and they can read the rest in your book. Perfectionism. How does perfectionism impact on procrastination?
Perfectionism is an interesting topic. I just read some research that actually procrastinators don't necessarily, perfectionists don't necessarily procrastinate more. It's just that they would talk about it more. But in any case, perfectionism, I've had many cases with clients where perfectionism would make it much harder to finish something. So it's not the getting started that's the problem with perfectionism, but the finishing something. So when does it get especially difficult to finish? When there are no clear-cut rules of what is considered good, what is considered valuable, what is considered a high standard. And so I find that the most complicated procrastination cases regarding perfectionism are often writing projects and artistic projects and anything else where it's really sort of the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. because there you don't have anything to sort of measure yourself against. So let's say, again, you're writing a novel. What makes you know that it's good enough? What makes you, like, come to the point that, yeah, this is ready now for other people to see it? So what I usually like people to do is not go from there's nothing to, no, I have the perfect product or end result, to really do it in stages and ask yourself, like, really move from perfection to good enough. So is this good enough to show my partner? Is this good enough to show friends? Is this good enough for my writing group? Is this good enough for an editor? Is it good enough? And so by breaking it down into smaller steps, we can really build up, again, the sense of self-esteem. Okay, all these people said it's quite nice. Let's go take it to the next level and see what I get back. And there, it's also very important to learn to take in feedback. I think one of the big things for perfectionists is that any kind of feedback that's not just perfect will make them feel severe criticism. And when I work with people, what I try to do is we move them to see that as a positive. So if somebody has a great idea to make, or let's say you're writing a report, a colleague gives you ideas of how to make this report better, why not use the intelligence of other people? It just makes the end result better. So don't consider it a personal criticism, that it's something that you've worked on, somebody thinks they can make it better, but think about it as a way of improving the product. So the focus shifts from you as the person who is being criticized to it's the product that's being criticized, and it will make it better.
Well, I know as an artist, I sculpt things, and quite often I don't know when to quit. In other words, it might have been better if I hadn't put this other part on it or whatever. I know that that's a definite problem, is knowing when to quit your project, and that advice that you gave about getting opinions from other people, that's good. Now, excuse me, go ahead.
Yes, it's interesting because I worked with a sculptor before, and it was just so interesting to me because there was just one piece, I can't remember what, I think it was the foot or something, that wasn't done yet, and he just couldn't finish it. And so I asked him, so what is so difficult? What is in the way? And we were talking, like asking questions, and he said, oh, I'm just afraid of rejection, that people won't like the piece. And so I asked him, but nobody likes your piece now because they haven't seen it yet. And it sort of, he started laughing and realized, yes, if I don't finish it, then my fear is already reality, that nobody will like it.
Right.
So the question then is, do I think it's not good enough? Then give up the project. If something really went wrong, you don't want to show it to people, make the decision. It's not worth investing more energy if you don't think this will actually go somewhere. So giving up projects or goals graciously is also something that's very important and for people to learn. It's just, that's not failure. It's just like it didn't work out. It's fine to let it go. And again, we come back to self-blame. Yes, something didn't work out that we started, but it's better to stop as soon as you know it's not going anywhere than pumping more and more energy and time and potentially money into a project that is really a no-go from very early on.
Well, this program is called Share Your Mission, and I'd like to find out, what do you think that your mission is in life right now?
It is helping people to become more kind to themselves and work with procrastination as information and get them to achieve their life goals in a humane, unpressured, and kind and loving way.
Well, I applaud you on that and hope that you're able to, in your lifetime, accomplish all that you wish for. If you're listening to this today and you think, I might be a procrastinator. What can I do about it? You can get Dr. Ryman's book, Beyond Procrastination, and you can also go over to my website, freedomfromaddiction.info, to get more information. We're privileged to have Dr. Ryman on the program today to talk about this very important subject, and I thank her and hope for the best for this book because it affects a lot of people.
Thank you so much, Lynn. Thank you for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.